Thank you, Lord, for another fine day. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in all of us. Thank you, Father, for showing us our authority as a believer in you. Thank you, Father, that tonight's going to be an awesome night, filled with faith, scriptures, testimonies of your goodness. And we praise you, Father, that we do have an open heaven and that our prayers are heard and answered. And we praise you for that, Father. You're an almighty God. We love you. Lord, I just thank you for all my brothers and sisters. Thank you for the love you surrounded their heart with. I praise you, Father, for all the good works you're doing through them, Lord. We don't have anything but you. And when we realize that you're the one that matters in our life, to get rid of ourselves, it's going to be an awesome time because of the power of God. The goodness and the love of God will flow through us in a mighty, unparalleled way. And Father, I thank you for your love for us and your grace and your mercy upon us, Lord. If it wasn't for that grace and mercy, Lord, we wouldn't be here. And I praise you and glorify you and thank you, Lord, for the things that's going to come about because of what you've taught us in your word. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, has anybody got a prayer request? All right, y'all believe with me. Lord, we thank you for exposing this seemingly unfettered voter fraud across the country using machines that they can regulate and change votes with. And Lord, we thank you that you've placed Bulldog Sidney Powell on the trail, Lord. And she's on it, Lord. And looks like you've got her all the goods she needs. And Father, we thank you for draining the swamp. And the main thing, Lord, I ask that you surround her with your angels to protect her and all the lawyers she's working with. And Lord, I thank you that these lawyers are doing it gratis too. They're not charging anybody anything for it. They're just doing it because they know it's right. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that your protection is upon President Trump as well and his family and all the people up there that are helping him, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you expose even the ones that are in his office there, that are against him, that you would expose them to, if you haven't already. Father, we thank you for that. And Lord, I thank you for this time ahead that you're fixing to cleanse your church. And I praise you, Father, for that. It needs a good cleansing, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for a great and mighty revival that'll bring lots of people, many people into the kingdom. Those of your elect, Lord, will come in a mighty way on the truth of the gospel, not some false message that some man wrote up and wants to follow, some easy, greasy grace message that doesn't promote holiness. It doesn't promote the goodness of God and the love of God and the humility and humbleness of God's people. We praise you, Father, that tonight's going to be an awesome time, a special time, and people's questions will be answered by your Holy Spirit, Lord, working through us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. All right. Anybody else?
All right. Yeah, Michael. I'd like to pray for this little sister. Her name's Kelsey. I don't know how much. I know she got. She received the Lord, and she believes in him. But I don't know how well her walk is with him, because she's been looking for love in all the wrong places, and she has a out of wed. Black child, and she's a friend and a schoolmate of my grandson Willie, and I just sent her a card and sent a book to her relating to rearing up a child in a godly way. So I would like to pray that as well as sending that book forth and the card forth, that the Lord would, that this prayer would be sent forth by the Spirit of the Lord. So Lord, I just lift up Kelsey to you, and I know she's had a rough time, and I she's not even with her parents. Her grandparents are taking care of her and her siblings. I just pray, Father, that you would just open up her heart and help her to come to you and lean on you, and not on her own understanding. Help her to just desire to want to do righteousness, but that you would touch her heart in such a way that she would see that you really do love her, and that you want her to follow you. And Lord, just encourage her and build her up, and just supply her need, not only with herself, but also with her little boy. And help her to seek after you, seek hard after you, seek your righteousness. She would be filled. Thank you, Father, that I pray that you supply her need and take care of her little one, and that you help her family, help her relatives to follow after you too, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for helping young Kelsey.
I'm sorry.
I said, thank you, Lord, for helping young Kelsey.
Yes.
Yes. Also, my brother Brett, he's my oldest brother. He's never been married. He's in a home now. There's about 8 years difference. He's 8 years older than me. And he has had Alzheimer's, but I have come against it. I break the power of Satan over him. The last time I remember that we talked about the Lord, he said he felt like the Lord was mad at him, angry with him. So I don't know. I don't know where he's at, but I just pray, Father God, that you just touch his heart too. Touch his heart and show him the way he needs to go, Lord, and help him to have the mind of Christ, that he would not be confused or drawn away from you, but that he would be drawn to you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you're bringing him in into your kingdom. And thank you, Father, for blessing him and taking care of him. And thank you for the people that are taking care of him, helping to be drawing, helping him to draw close to you, Lord. Send laborers across his path to help him in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, who's next? With a prayer or a praise report. Yes, Pat.
Yeah, I just wanted to, I guess I was thinking about, number one, I have been attacked here the last couple days. And it seems as though they are irrational attacks, people just coming out and I mean, just losing their horizontal hold altogether, to the point where it really kind of surprised me. Usually I would take offense and start, you know, asking the Lord what's he trying to get at in my life or something. I usually go introspective. But these were so radically just in your face, emotional outburst type of thing that I had to stop and just think, whoa, something is happening here that's beyond the norm. And I've had a couple of these attacks in the last few days. So I just wanted to pray for the people that I would call innocent bystanders of this whole battle. Not that they are innocent in their sins, or not that they have not done anything. They have received the factious spirit covering the planet right now. But I believe that they have done so apart from logical thinking, apart from, I think they have received it, been deceived into walking in the light of that hatred, and that they are taken unawares, shall we say. I think there's a scripture related to that somewhere. So I just wanted to pray for, I know that there is a major battle happening right now, and that, but there are going to be these people that are caught in the skirmish, so to speak, they are defenseless for the most part because they are ignorant of the real true war and battle that's really happening now. So I just wanted to pray, Father, would you have mercy upon these casualties of war? Lord, we just pray a hedge of protection around these people. Correct them for what needs to be corrected, but Lord, preserve their life and bring them into repentance. Bring them safely through this skirmish that we're going through into a place that they can receive correction, they can receive your spirit, they can receive the truth. Father, I pray that you would specifically for my family, the people that are around me, that I work with, many, many people that are they're in they're in a tremendous amount of deception. They don't know what's happening out there, but they're constantly angry against Trump. Trump seems to be the point that everybody can feel good about being angry at. And Lord, I just pray against that spirit right now in the name of Jesus. I bind that spirit in these people that you would start to break down, Lord, you would break down the positions of justification that these people have in their mind to be angry, to be critical, to be vicious, to be accusatory. That all of these things, Lord, number one, you're using them in our lives, Lord, to bring about a prayer, to bring about strength. But you're also, Lord, exposing these things in these people. And I pray, Lord, that you would open up their eyes. It only takes one strategic truth to tear down and destroy the foundation of a mountain of lies in these people's lives. And so I just trust you, Lord, that you are well able to do it. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we can stand boldly in your word and in your spirit. We can stand boldly secure in your life that you provided us in Jesus. And we thank you for it, Lord. To pray that you would send your blessing, send your spirit out and send repentance and judgment and repentance to those that need to know the gospel, know you, Lord. And we just thank you for it. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We believe with Pat that this is so in Jesus' name, that your angels are sent out in the name of Jesus. Okay. Who's next? Looking for the good report. Who's got a good report? Judy's got a good report. Na, 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 na.
Yeah, but Gano's got even a better one.
All right. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, I was just going to share how the Lord has just been with me just in such a big, big way the whole past year, and that it was a year ago today that I started on my trek down here to Tennessee. And he just has met me in every little nook and cranny where I've been, when I've had good days and bad days, and, you know, just feeling like I was alone. And he always reminded me, no, you are not alone. I am right there with you. And I remember one particular day, you know, I was really missing Marlon. And in my thoughts, I was thinking, well, we were married for over 50 years. And I just, you know, I was so used to having him there and he wasn't there. And the Lord really put that in perspective. He says, yes, you were together over 50 years, but I've known you from before the foundation of the earth. So, so that 50 years was like a dot. And he just really put it right out there. And it was like, thank you, Lord. You're so good.
Amen.
And yeah. And he just showed his love and his grace and mercy just over and over for me, and helped me to adjust moving, because I'd lived in that house for over 50 years and coming down here. And then I lived in a tiny little house, but he moved me to the family circle. That was just such an awesome blessing. It was just great, because I knew so many of my neighbors, and we do a lot of things together. And
she keeps coming back.
I do. I'm here almost every day, even though I have moved again. But he moved me to another home. And I remember the first night I was there, you know, I was trying to get used to the house sounds. They all sound a little creaky. And I was there all by myself and not with my friends who were all my neighbors, and not knowing a single one of my neighbors where I'm living now. And I asked the Lord for a verse, and I opened my Bible, put my finger down, and my finger landed on the verse, I know where thou dwellest. And my finger was on the word dwellest. And I thought, Lord, you are so good. You're showing me, you know exactly where I am, and you're there to protect me and comfort me and give me everything I need, just like when I was in the family circle. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I just, he just met me so many ways. I drove back to Nebraska in the spring, and I was a little hesitant about that, because I've never driven that many hours by myself and that many miles. But when I got there, I was so full of, I would say, God's love, and I was just so energized, and it was awesome. He got me through Nashville, and he got me through Memphis. I know when I got through Memphis, I just wanted to give him a hug, because I thought I'd missed my turn. And I was wanting to pull over and see how I needed to get back to where I really wanted to be, but I was fine. I just didn't know it. But I drove over this viaduct, and I was going to pull over and find out how to get where I wanted to be. And there was I-40, and I just wanted to give him a hug. But how do you hug a spirit? But anyway, it was like exciting. Because he knew the way, even though I didn't. And that's what he assured me of. He says, you know, I know the way, even if you don't. So, and he got me here. And it was, my sister-in-law was so surprised when I got there. She thought I'd be all tired and all that. And I was not tired one bit. So it was really a blessing. And he just continues to do that. Now I'm unpacking again. And now I have a place to put things, and I know they're going to stay there. I'm not moving totes from here to there and then forgetting where I put it the last time. So I thank you, Lord, just for meeting me every step of the way and being there for me. I thank you, Father, for all the friends that helped me to move, that packed my things so carefully. And I thank you for everyone here who has just been awesome. And that we can just fellowship together and just have a really good time in the Lord.
Amen.
And I just thank you and I love you. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, I'm done.
I just hugged him. I thank the Lord that she keeps coming back to the family circle. We all love her.
Amen. Amen. That's a good testimony. Everybody loves to move, I know. That's such a joy. Go ahead, Angelica.
I have a praise report, I guess. At least it is to me. I was today I was reading in Philippians, and I just, as I read, I take notes and sort of try to reason with the word of God and my own understanding, and, you know, just kind of put it in my own words where I, you know, kind of reword what I'm reading. But anyway, so today I was reading in Philippians, and it was talking about it's Philippians 4:4, as you know, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearance be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand, and nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. And so, you know, I've read this before, but I was just so happy that I read it today, and I wrote in my notes. And there's other parts here too, but I just have some notes here, and I'll get to my little what happened today, but in my notes, I have, in failure or in great success, be of the same mind to walk with the Lord, walk in his word, and be not moved through external circumstances. He is working it all out to his glory, whether it be for my sake or for the sake of others. Because I was thinking about Paul and how they, you know, and the apostles, how they went through great persecutions, but it wasn't for their sake. It was for the sake of the gospel, for our sake. You know, had they not been willing to go through that, if they were moved from their faith in those circumstances, then perhaps the word of God wouldn't have been written through them, you know, or whatever, but it was for our sake. Right. So I just kind of had that in mind, and, you know, rejoice in the Lord always. And then I put, anxiety comes when you walk by sight and don't believe God. Right. Because he's saying, don't be anxious for anything, you know. So if a man can receive nothing, then why be anxious? Right. And so the peace of God shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. If I am resting and trusting in God, I have peace, and no emotion or signs or symptoms or things that are seen will change my heart. So this is what I just wrote today. And I went to go get some food for Isaiah and I in the next little town over. And after we're coming back on the way back, anyone who's ever driven with me in a car knows that I'm like easily distracted in here in Tennessee because it's so beautiful. And like the roads are real windy, and I'm always like, and I'm talking, and then I'm like, oh my God, look at that. I'm like, oh, look, that's pretty, you know? It's So I'm just kind of real distracted when I'm driving or whatever. And I see a cop pass by me, but I wouldn't even, I mean, I'm not familiar with this little town. So I didn't even, I don't even know where the stop signs are because I was too busy looking at houses. So I get pulled over, you know, and I was like, okay. So I just pulled over immediately. And I just said, thank you, Lord. Like, you know, thank you. I mean, I have my driver's license. I have my insurance. At least I thought I did. And I said, well, if I, Lord, if I was speeding, I'm sorry. I was distracted. I didn't even pay attention to what the speed limit was here. But a man can receive nothing unless come from heaven. But I do ask you if you would forgive me let him give me a warning, Lord. And if not, if I get a ticket, well, then thank you, Lord, you know, whatever your will. And so he comes and he asks me for my driver's license and my insurance. He said, oh, your insurance is expired. And I said, oh, is it? Okay, let me get my app out. He's like, okay, well, I'll go run your driver's license or whatever. So I was like, okay, Lord, thank you, Lord. I just pray for a warning, Lord. If you know, I just ask for your mercy and I thank you, Lord. And he came back and like, he was like, here's your, you know, I was about to show him my insurance from my phone. And he goes, here's your driver's license. I just got a call, got to go. And he's like, he just took off. And I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Like, I was like, thank you, Jesus. I was so, it was great because it wasn't like, I like to make fun of myself a little bit, you know, where I'm from, like, you know, the cops, you know, you know, you know, you just kind of like, you always get a little like worked up, you know, ooh, you got pulled over. Like, oh my God, like, you don't have, do you have insurance? Do you have your stickers or whatever, you know, just background, you know, growing up around people like that and myself or whatever. So it's just kind of get a little anxious, but I didn't get anxious. And it was just, you know, just because of the word, you know, and just kind of reasoning with the word, just knowing that, you know, a man really can receive nothing. And even if it's, you know, if it seemingly doesn't, in our own understanding is not for our benefit, it may be for the benefit of others, you know, and I just had peace in that moment. And so I just thought that was cool. So I just want to praise God.
Was that about 3 o'clock?
No, I think it was a little later than that. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. Cause I saw one flying through town headed for you about 3 o'clock.
No, I was
leaving. County Sheriff.
No, I was leaving Inglewood from
Athens. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. This was over in Vano. All right. Well, good. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for seeing after Angelica and Isaiah. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, Saturday, in the morning after the prayer meeting, I was typing something up and I sent something off in an email, and I was working on that for a while anyway. And then I was just like so tired, and I had some cleaning that I needed to do, and I can't remember if I think I took my walk first, yeah. And so I came back and I was just like, I was like really tired. I was unusually tired and it was just weird. So I was just like, I think I took a nap and I was still kind of tired. And so I just, I started rebuking it and commanding this tiredness and this sluggishness to go. And I asked the Lord to give me strength and energy. And because it was just like, I did not feel like cleaning and I'm feeling tired like that. But I just did it anyway and just didn't think about it. And as I went along cleaning, I just got full of energy. And I was like, wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for doing that for me. I was just like, I was just rebuking those spirits and stuff and just commanding strength and energy into my body. And I was fine then the rest of the day. So thank you, Lord. It was just some kind of attack on me or something. So, but praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, on Sunday night, I was trying to listen to the Bible study and I couldn't get it. So I was going to leave it for another day, and I got around to it this morning because I didn't go to work today. And I was listening to the Bible study, and suddenly something went wacky on my computer. You know, on the bottom of your computer where you start it up and all the little icons come on, the one for Google, the one for, you know, just all the stuff on the bottom. 3/4 of it just turned off. The computer made a buzzing noise. Even the internet symbol to show you that I'm on the internet, it went off too. And without skipping a beat, the computer just made a buzzing noise, and then everything just came back on, and I didn't miss a thing. I didn't have to re-download where I was or anything. David Eales just continued talking through it all, and I didn't miss a single word he was saying, and I went, boy, does the Lord ever take care of you, even when you don't think he is. And that's the second time this happened. It didn't buzz the first time it happened, but wow, that was just glory to God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. That's awesome. Y'all remember that testimony about the guy that he was listening to David on a CD in his truck, and he turned the truck off and it kept playing. He took the CD out and it kept playing. Y'all remember? Yeah, that was cool. God can get his word out. He don't need the mechanics of it. He can just go ahead and do it. Yeah, for you.
So we prayed for my grandma last week, and she had a high fever. Well, we went to visit my uncle. Was it yesterday or the day before? Sunday night? Yeah, Sunday night. And we were just going to visit because we had family over from Kentucky. And turns out it was a huge prayer meeting that we didn't know was happening. And so my grandma was there, a couple of the brethren from Kansas City, I think. And anyway, so we got to pray for her, but what we prayed for, her fever, it was totally gone. So she had no fever, but she was just kind of slow, you know, taking it easy, kind of weak. So we just continue believing that she's going to be fully recovered. And thank you, Father, for the healing.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. We just praise you, Father, for that. Amen.
I'm also thankful that I don't have to travel this week. At the last minute, the customer in Chicago, of all places, they said, hey, COVID is ramping up, so you should probably not come out. I was like, gladly.
Okay.
Yep.
Awesome.
Thank you, Father, for everything. Yep.
That's not a good sound.
Yep.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Well, come on down here.
Oh, I'd love to. Right. I really would. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Anything else? Anybody else got anything? Yeah, Julie.
I had some guys, well, one guy working on my roof this morning, working on, actually not the roof, but the cleaning up the gutters, rain gutters and stuff. And we end up having a little conversation about the Lord. He's he's an ordained minister. He's a young guy, but really nice guy. But anyhow, we just had a really interesting and nice talk about the Lord and some current subject matter, we'll just say. And I just felt led to give him a couple of books from the Unleavened Bread Ministries, David wrote. And I prayed over him first. And I just, if you'll just agree with me, Father, that I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that those books will really speak to Andy, is his name. Bless Andy. Thank you for him. Thank you, Lord, for his the work he does and our conversation today, Father. And you heard everything. And I just pray your blessing and your anointing on those books, and that any religious spirit will not hinder him receiving the everything you want to share with him, Lord, and anything and everything you want to reveal to him through the Word of God. And I thank you, Lord, that you are so sovereign over everything. And I'm just so blessed by what you do, Lord. And I thank you for Andy and his life and keeping him safe, and that he does what he does, and that he loves you and he believes you, he trusts you, and he's really learning a lot by what you've been doing with him this last year. And I pray that you just open up his understanding to his heart and give him eyes to see and ears to hear, and grow him up, Lord, in the things that are true, and that he really does want truth. So I pray that you'll just bless him with those books. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for blessing that young man. Let him be a preacher of the true gospel, in Jesus' name. Yeah, Paula. Oh, he's praising God. Okay. That's good. That's awesome. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, go ahead, Claire.
It took me a while to find my unmute button. I think Rian would like to find it quicker sometimes too. I just want to, just a short thing, but the Lord woke me up at 2:30 this morning. And I was kind of like, oh, I don't really want to get out of bed now. Like, can't we just do this while I'm lying down? And the answer was no. So I got up and just had the sweetest fellowship with our Father this morning. Like, he just took me so gently through a few things that have been happening in our lives, and he gave me scripture for them. And as I prayed through it and prayed that he would show me what I'm supposed to do, he just gave me more and more scripture, and it was just so uplifting. I'm not going to share the details because it doesn't matter. I'm sure everyone's got these things, but it was just so wonderful to have that special quiet time with him. And I saw something in there about the man child. And whenever I see that, you know, I wish I had a little red phone that I could just pick up and phone Davey, but I don't. So I often ask the Lord, like, oh, should I email David about this? And so I asked him, and it was such a funny reply the Lord gave me in Job. I think I might have written it down, because normally I must send it to David. But this is what he sent me this morning. He says to me, look away from him so he may rest. And I was just, oh, Lord, you are so good to David. Like, that you would, you know, just guard his heart as you guard mine. The man obviously needs rest from either from me or just from whatever it is. I don't know. But it was just so wonderful. And the last thing I sort of asked him was, we've got a lady here who's getting married, a worldly girl, and actually the mine manager's wife. And partner. It's all very... You know how these Babylonish things are. It's always very complicated. But I felt like maybe I should do something. Like, maybe I need to have like a bridal shower. But I also, that's enough. Quiet now. I'm not entirely, you do see that authority. So I asked.
Praise the Lord.
Anyway, so I asked the Lord, like, should I do something? You know, this poor woman, I don't know. Should I have a bridal shower for her or something? Because I'm used to doing things like that, but I know that that's not how we roll in the spirit. So I got this from the Lord, and he said, he that loveth his life loseth it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. So there won't be a bridal shower happening from me, because it's obviously clearly just flesh, right? That just wants to have a wee little party. So I thought that was pretty cool as well, that he will answer the most insignificant of our requests, and he will also help us to keep that light and that salt as true and as bright as what it should be, and that we're not influenced by Babylon. So I just wanted to share. That was really cool.
Amen, it was. Thank you. All right. Anyone else? Okay. Tonight, the believer's authority. And I thought we'd go over that. And we had some questions last week about it. And I thought we'd try to go through there and see what happens. The believer's authority. I'd like to open up with a couple of scriptures. And one of them is Ephesians 6 and 12. Ephesians 6 and 12 says, "For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." The thing about that wrestling with these people, with these principalities and powers, is Jesus took care of that at the cross, didn't he? We don't have to wrestle against them. All we have to do is exert our authority that he has given us. And he has given it to us in numerous promises throughout the scriptures. And the one that I always like is Luke chapter 10. And verse 19, which says, "Behold, I have given you," that's us, that's everybody in here, everybody calls himself a believer, "authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you." So, as David says, his friend, whatever his name was, always says, what does all leave out? Doesn't leave anything out. We have authority over our life and things that come against us in our life. And when we understand that and we walk, okay, here's another if. When we walk, yeah, Ray Taylor, and when we walk in God's holiness, sanctification, as far as we know, you have the authority over all the power of the enemy. We, every one of us, do. And then we have Mark 11, 24, that talks about when you believe what you pray, you shall have it. And that's what we all know these scriptures, but then there are some things, some questions that arise at times. Well, why aren't I getting what I have prayed for? And maybe we can discuss some of that portion of it in a little bit. But I just want to throw that out there to begin with. Now, I want to open it up to discussion now. Yeah, Missy.
Well, one thing that I was thinking right away about when you're talking about this, because it was on my mind the other day. And I believe that sometimes we can pay too much mind to the enemy. In other words, okay, we take our authority of him, putting him in his place, you know, and speak the word, you know, it is written kind of thing, you know, and then go on our merry way. It doesn't matter how we feel. And if we feel like the enemy's still there, you know, it's like you just have to stand your ground. And like I know I go through battles sometimes where the enemy keeps coming at my mind about something. And I found that lots of times the best thing I can do is just praise and thank the Lord. And do something to take my mind off what the enemy keeps trying to attack my mind with. In other words, it's like the enemy wants you, he wants you to constantly think about what he's doing to you. He does that to me sometimes. He'll be there just constantly injecting these thoughts about what I'm dealing with. And rather than, you know, cast it down and get your mind on something else, it's like he's just constantly there wanting you to think about what he's doing to you. And the best thing you can do is just get your mind off of it. Don't even think about it, whatever it takes, you know. But it's like, you know, like go off and do something and, you know, praise and thank the Lord that you're healed or that the, you know, or just sing, you know, lots of times singing and praising the Lord will work. And sometimes just, like I said, just putting the enemy in his place and go and do something, think about something else. And it's almost like, this may sound weird, but sometimes just trying to stay in the word and trying to read the word doesn't help, because it's just like the enemy just is there. This sounds really weird. It sounds like an oxymoron, but if I try and read the word to keep from thinking about what the enemy's trying to put in my mind, it doesn't work really well. It may sound weird, but I gotta get myself busy doing something lots of times. It sounds really weird, but that's what works for me. I mean, I think about the Lord, but if I sit down and try and read the word, that doesn't work. But I'll get myself busy doing something, but still with the Lord on my mind or whatever, or praising and thanking the Lord, singing or whatever. It sounds weird, but anyway, that's what works for me. But I think we give him paying too much attention. We're constantly fighting with him rather than just putting him in his place and going a merry way. That makes okay. sense.
Makes sense. Go ahead, Julie.
Missy, I totally get it. I totally concur with what you just said. And I have tried doing everything you say, and I will confess the word. I will confess what the word says about God, his grace, his what's already been done. I confess the promises. I confess who I am in Christ. I confess my authority. I confess all the things. And I hear the Lord say, now stand your ground. It's like, okay, but then I want to try to focus and read the word or pray, and I can't do it because the enemy, those thoughts are still there. I haven't been able to get free of whatever the thoughts that have been there. I can't focus, and or is a physical something or other that is such a distraction. And I know it's what I noticed today. Yesterday was a really good day. From the time I got up to getting in the word, spending time with the Lord, I had a really good day. Everything went really well. Today, not so good. Didn't start out so good. And it was a distraction all morning. And it kept me from doing what I wanted to do. And that's been one of the enemy's tactics with me, is when things don't go right and I can't focus and I can't do my job, I can't pray, I can't meditate on the word because all this other stuff is going on. And I haven't yet figured out how to overcome all that, except fight the good fight of the faith, keep casting stuff down, keep doing that. But it's, you know, I like you, Missy, sometimes I'll go for a walk and just pray in the spirit for a while, put on music, or I'll do something, but it's like, this isn't what I want to do. I want to be sitting at the Lord's feet or something. It's keeping me from doing what I feel like I want to do, in place of now, okay, well, maybe I'll just go clean my bathroom or something because it needs it. I got to do something. I can't just sit here, because that's where I would find myself, just sitting there not doing anything. Or I'd pray in the spirit. Don't get me wrong. I would still be trying to do something, you know, but it's like, it's just a constant battle, and the stuff just keeps coming back. And I know God's doing something. I know he is. I know he's doing something with all this. It's not for nothing. I ask him for wisdom, and I ask him for his understanding. I ask him to lead me. Praise God, you'll always lead us in triumph. And I confess that too. And it's like, the victory's mine. The enemy's under my feet. He has to obey everything I say. And whenever I bind something, it's bound. If I lose something, it's loosed. And it's just getting, I think part of it for me is to get past the by sight, by feeling thing, you know, and
yeah.
And just, you know, but when I can't focus on the word and that kind of stuff, it's annoying and frustrating. So I totally get what you're saying, Missy.
Yeah, I didn't mention about the praying in the spirit, but I definitely do that sometimes and all too. But it's like, I think the Lord is trying to get us past feeling it's like getting us out of thinking there's a format that you always have to be so spiritual and so religious, and you have to battle through, and you have to be able to pray with, you know, with your intellect. You know, I mean, I'm always praying with my intellect, just not always with my understanding with my mouth. I don't always understand, but I'm always thinking something and praying something, you know, in my mind when I'm praying in the spirit. But I think the Lord just wants us to get past. We have that authority, and we don't have to think that we have to jump all through all these hoops to put the enemy under our feet. We don't. Because if we believe we have that authority, then we can just go on our merry way. And just because we can't sit down and pray and read the word like we wanted to, you know, isn't such a bad thing. Because it's like, sometimes I think we get in too much of a format and think that, you know, this is what the Lord wants us to do. Yeah, we want to, but sometimes, you know, we don't always get to do what we want to. I mean, yeah, it's good to be sitting down and praying or being in the word, but you know, I mean, it's like we still are on this earth, and we still have other things that we have to do other than that too. I mean, that is definitely top priority. And it's just like, some days are better days than others, and we can't feel condemned by that. See, that's the thing. We can't feel condemned by the fact that we didn't get to pray as much as we wanted to, or we didn't get to read as much as we wanted to. And because then that's legalism.
You remember what David says? When you pray, you believe what you pray, you shall have it. That's when we go into the rest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We go into the rest. Don't worry about it. It's going to happen. And I know what you're talking about, Julie. I think everybody here has something that they're dealing with and want to understand what it is that's hindering.
Yeah.
Because
that's been his tactic too. He'll accuse me. You're not praying enough. You're not in the word. Now what? You didn't start your day out like you normally would like, you know. And I gotta get me out of this habitual thinking, you know, this habitual thinking, and just, you know, be led of the Lord. And there, I know days down the road, we're not gonna have time to sit and read the word. We'll be too busy doing other stuff. But I keep coming to the understanding, reminding myself, God, you know my heart, you know where I wanna be. And what do you want me doing? helping and helping get there. You know, so it, yeah, just casting down those thoughts and vain imaginations, enemy fires in there. And he's just, it's subtle. It's just subtle, but they're there. And then when I catch it, I'm like, you know, hours later, I'm like, why didn't I get that? I see it now, you know, but I just want to quit going round and round, round and round the same thing. I want to get up on top of that mountain. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I believe. Yeah, go ahead, Paula. Was you stretching again?
No, not this time.
Okay.
I don't want to interrupt you, Michael.
What's that?
I don't want to interrupt you.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I can wait.
I just wanted to say that that's where the audio Bible also comes in really, really handy. You know, if I can't sit down and feel that I can really connect and give it my full attention, just having it on and just going about my business and cleaning the bathroom, like Julie said, with that playing in the background, you know, your spirit gets washed and my mind gets washed. And I'll often find that it starts energizing me. And sometimes you even get to a point where you then can actually sit down and read the word. Well, here's something, and I'm like, oh, I forgot about that verse, you know, and then I'll go back and quickly check it or whatever. And then, you know, before you know it, you're kind of back there. So the audio Bible is just, it's an awesome tool that we have at our disposal for times like that. Just wanted to say that.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Paula, because David listens to the audio Bible quite often, and I do too, but that's very good to do that. Just hook it on. It's getting in your spirit. You can go about and do what you want to. Yeah, Missy. Are you just checking
even
your nails?
Even putting a Bible study on, you know, like, you know how I said Saturday, I was like tired and just, but I was listening to one of the Bible studies while I was cleaning and everything too. And it was just a combination of that. See, that's another good thing that the Lord showed me to do too, is when I don't feel like I can concentrate and focus and just the enemies, you know, I just put an audio Bible on or put a Bible study on. And at least I'm, you know, getting something. And just the fact that the word is being spoken into the air and it's spirit, you know, and the enemy doesn't like that. I think that in itself can just chase the enemy away, you know. I hate hearing that, you know. Can't you imagine the demons going, I can't stand hearing that. But anyway, just like the praise music.
Yeah, that's something that I do is just turn on the praise music and get up and praise God, you know.
Amen. That was what I was going to say. I have found that when I praise the Lord, whatever I'm going through and I'm praying about, you know, if I'm still troubled, it helps me a lot just to praise the Lord and sing to him. And in the morning, that's what I like to do, at least sing one song to him if I don't have a lot of time. And I found too, when I worked with my grandchildren, when they get home from school, I had to, I realized that in order for them to, you know, they get off the bus, they're in public school, they get off the bus, and then next thing you know, you're dealing with demons in the house, you know. I had to come against them and instead of, you know, just I'd pray against them, and then I would put praise music on, and the atmosphere, it would change the whole atmosphere, because Satan hates to hear praising. He hates to hear worshiping to the Lord. He hates to hear tongues. He hates to hear you speaking the word. But just when you got a lot of stuff to do, to put music on and just praise the Lord, it changed the atmosphere with the boys, and it changed me, you know. So I, you know, I do that a lot, because I know the Lord loves us to sing to him. Amen.
Y'all can go ahead. I was just checking a book. Y'all remember that book? I forget the name of it. About the chaplain.
Power of the Praise.
Power of Praise. And yeah, thank you, Dave. I've forgotten the name of it. That's what I was trying to get up there to find it.
Was it called From Prison to Praise or something like that?
Prison to Praise, yeah.
Prison to Praise.
And there's another one that was a kind of a short thing. It was Power of Praise.
Marilyn Carruthers.
Huh?
Marilyn Carruthers.
Yes, that's his name. Merlin,
I think, isn't it?
Merlin Carruthers or something.
Yes, that's what I'm with. Merlin. Yeah.
Merlin. Carruthers. But yeah, he had an interesting outlook on getting things answered, and that was praising God for it. Praising God in the bad times and praising God in the good time, praising God on top of the mountain and praising God in the valley. And he said it worked for him, and it did. It worked mighty miracles in his life. And that's another tool that we can use, and that's what we've been talking about here, is praising God. That's another one. And I like that one too, because that's what I do. I praise God. I try to praise God all the time for everything. And I know y'all do too. Y'all do.
Before I start my day naturally like everybody else, to get up, get ready, you know, shower, all that. But when I get my laptop going in the morning before I start opening up the Bible and everything else and start going through it, I get on my knees and I humble myself before the Lord. And then I pray what's on my mind a little bit, but I always lift up my arms. I give glory to God. I praise the Lord. I make sure I'm praising the Lord, praising Jesus, you know. Because I know if I honor the Lord this way and give him the authority and the praise that he's worthy and recognize who he is and who I am in that part of the morning to get my day started, then I know that whatever I go into, especially with the scriptures and reading and the rest of my day, I've given him the rightful seat and honor that he desires on my life. And so that now my life is guided by him. It doesn't mean everything's perfect and everything's going to go great. I mean, I'm going to come up against challenges. But putting that perspective first with the Lord before I start into my Bible studies and everything else and daily devotion or whatever you want, however you want to do it, that is the way that I don't take control of myself, but I give him the recognition that he's in control, and I'm going to let him guide me. You know, I'm going to be a submitted spirit to that, my spirit. And that helps me, because that way I'm much more attentive to what he's going to say. Not that I wouldn't be before, but now I know I've given him that rightful position already in my heart, and you know, and that's what he desires for me, to know that first, you know, to come and be that, be like that before I try to go in his throne room and get information from him and understand is first to get things right between who I am and who he is, that rightful relationship, you know, and then things work out much better. I mean, it doesn't mean my day goes perfect, because there is a woman that I work with once in a while, kind of almost daily to a little bit. She's very much a Jezebel, you know. So, and she has spirits around her, and I have to cast these spirits down when she's around, because these things, you know, they come out, and all of a sudden weird things start happening around my machinery, and I start binding and casting. I don't say anything evil to her, but I bind the spirits that are around that are causing problems. Those kind of things go on. But by me taking that rightful place in the beginning gives me the ability to walk out into the world and deal with the world's problems that I come up against without losing perspective of who I am with the Lord and getting all worked up. But at the same time, it gives me that, we're talking about authority, it recognizes my authority in Christ real quick, because now I know my relationship with the Lord much better too. And he honors that. He honors my relationship with him because I honor my relationship rightfully the first thing in the morning. I made sure I gave him that rightful honor and glory. And so that he's along my side the rest of the day to make sure that, not that I'm, you know, some kind of king or anything like that. I'm not putting that out there like that, but I'm walking in the kingdom the way he would want me to walk and do things the way he'd want me to do things. That's just how I start my day.
I start my day crying out to the Lord. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Lord, oh God, I'm telling you. Help me to kill this old flesh. Amen. All right. That's a good day. Thank you. Anyone else? I want to read Ephesians is one of my favorite books because it deals a lot with our reactions to Christ. Ephesians 1, I'm going to start out in verse 3. Ephesians 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Now, how many of you know there's a lot of blessings that God's got for us? When he says every one of them, that means every one of them. Even as he, going into 4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love. I'm going to read that one again. Just look at what it says. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love. One of these days we're going to look at this a little bit deeper, a whole lot deeper. Having foreordained us unto adoptions as sons through Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, that's good stuff, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, making known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in him, unto a dispensation of the fullness of time, to sum up all things in Christ, the things in heavens and the things upon earth. In him, I say, in whom also we were made a heritage, having been foreordained according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we should be unto the praise of his glory, we who had before hoped in Christ, in whom ye also, having heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, having also believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is an earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of God's own possession, unto the praise of his glory. God loves us so much, he's given us every opportunity to conquer the enemy in our life. Every opportunity, every weapon we need to beat the devil down. And can I tell you what I found out in myself is the biggest problem? Let me tell you what it is. I said, yeah, I know. The biggest problem to me, for me, is Michael. The biggest problem that I have found to faith and believing for myself is Michael. Self. Self is the biggest problem. Self is supposed to be dead. And when it's not dead, what happens? You got pride. There's pride. Because we don't want self to die completely. We just want it to die a little bit so nobody notices. I'm going to tell you something, and this is the truth. This is the gospel here. Pride will kill faith big time. It'll kill faith. I'm just finding this stuff out just here in the last little bit. Pride will kill faith. It'll take faith and just blow it out of the water. Now, what's pride? I got to get my view across so everybody knows who I am. I got to do this. I tell you what I've been doing, folks, and I have been doing a word study in pride. And you'd be surprised at how many verses in the Bible what talks about pride and what it does to you. There's a bunch of them. But it kills faith. And I'm learning that when Michael dies, that the Christ in me comes alive with more power and the gifts are in more operation. When you die to self, and allow God. Here's something that it's been a big problem with me is seeking man's favor rather than God's favor. And when I seek God's favor, man's favor makes no difference. I don't care about man's favor. When you seek God's favor, man's not going to look at you because they don't want to see God. They want the man part of it. I'm talking about Michael here now. I'm not talking about y'all. I know all of y'all are pretty much holified and all that, but it's this right here that I found that has messed my faith up for myself, and that's pride. And I'm finding out what pride is too. Pride is doing a lot of things that we do normally that would lift up yourself rather than the glory of God. When I've got to open my mouth rather than keep it shut like the word tells us to do, a lot of times, you wouldn't believe the scriptures in there about keeping your mouth shut. I'm just talking about Michael now. I know y'all don't have this problem, but I do. I did, and I'm learning now. I'm learning that I don't have to talk all the time. I don't have to expound on something all the time because I want God to be pleased with me. And when I want God to be pleased more with me than I want man to be pleased with me, then I'm on the right track. And I just thought I'd throw that out there. I hope it helps somebody. Boy, I just sobered everybody up. I didn't want to do that. All right, who's next?
Michael, what was your original question?
That's a good question. What the believer, what is the believer's authority? I believe is what the question was. What's the authority of the believer?
I thought you said something about hindrance.
Yeah, well, it could be that too. Just all aspects of it. What we had talked about the other day, Angelica, was people are having problems getting healed in certain areas, and they don't understand why. And we're just looking at that aspect of it, and you know, getting into rest, praising God, all of that kind of stuff. That's what we do, you know. And I'm just throwing another aspect at it that I found just recently. Been doing this word study on pride.
Yeah, I just had a little something to share about that. Just my own recent experience as well is just, you know, our authority, you know, David has said many times over, you know, the devil knows when we know our authority. Okay. And many of us know our authority, but many of us don't realize at times, as it was my, you know, my own example, my own life, as, you know, what's hindering our authority. We just think, well, we're just, you know, we're doing what we're supposed to do, confessing and binding and loosening and all that stuff. But, you know, I just realized that, you know, we really sometimes, not a matter of introspection, but, you know, just we really have to go to God in those times when there's patterns or cycles, you know, where the enemy has kind of, you know, hit us, you know, in this area over and over and over again. I mean, there's, in my own life, I just found that there was, you know, there was sin, there was unforgiveness, there was this, there was that. And we just cannot have faith. And we cannot, if we don't have faith, many times I can just even feel it, you know, binding and loosing and commanding the devils to go, but not even having faith for what I'm saying out of my mouth, you know? And I mean, if I'm honest with myself, you know what I mean? I'm just like, there's times when I feel like I'm not even having faith for what's coming out of my mouth. I know I believe it, but I feel like the faith is not there sometimes. And I feel like in my own life, it's been, just, you know, forgive, you know, unforgiveness or just, you know, the enemy kind of likes, I kind of give like some examples, and it's just my own life experience examples, nothing that is like set in stone or whatever, but, you know, the devils and the demons, they like to train people, you know, they like to train us. They like to train our thought patterns. And if they can train you, then they've won, you know, they've won to some degree, whatever they're training you in. For example, when I was in the world, I hadn't come to the Lord yet, but when I would go to church, when I would come home, I would get attacked spiritually. I'd get, you know, choked in my dreams and paralyzed and all this stuff. And the enemy was training me to, you know, in my mind, this happens every time I go to church. So I'm not going there anymore. You know what I mean? And I could remember that was my thought at the time. And I realized it was the devil was conditioning me, like through the exterior, experience or whatever of, you know, being choked or whatever. And so I kind of, you know, that was my thought at the time. When I go to church, these bad things happen, I'm not going to church. So it's kind of that way, I think, sometimes, at least with me, where the enemy will, he's trying to condition your brain or your mind, your way of thinking through this, you know, one certain thing. And I, And for me, it's kind of like remembering the wrongs, meditating on past arguments or situations where, you know, you're just kind of replaying over and over and over again. What, you know, what was said, you know, just kind of really just trying to make it, you know, I don't even know what you're trying, you know, what I'm trying to accomplish in doing that, but it's, but I'm thinking it like, okay, wait a minute, this is the enemy. Because the Bible says that, you know, we're not supposed to remember the wrongs and we're not supposed to be looking back. We're supposed to be moving forward, you know? And the Bible also says that we're to make no provision for the flesh. And whether we like it or not, our fleshly emotions, that's flesh. And whether we understand it or not, the flesh gets joy and pleasure out of these ungodly emotions, kind of, you know what I mean? So anyway, I just kind of, I mean, my own life, you know, as far as authority, I find that if I'm, you know, what I'm learning is that if I'm not being effective in my warfare, then I just probably need to take a look at my own life. Okay, am I in right standing with the Lord? Have I forgiven, you know, make sure that I actually, you know, am in faith and not just spinning my wheels and just, you know, speaking what I know, but my heart is not really there. You know?
Amen. Thank you, Angelica. Anybody else? Just to give you a scripture on what tuned me up or got me excited about humbling myself was John 5:44. John 5:44 says this in the ESV. It says, how can you believe? That's faith. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and don't seek glory, the glory that comes from the only God? So that was something that struck to the core of my walk was this one here, and it's just been recently that it's happened.
What was that reference again? John 5 what?
44. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Julie.
We need the anointing. The anointing breaks the yoke. Lord, amen. Send your anointing.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I just think we all need to, you know, just seek him and continue to press in for more of him and bite, but more of the Holy Spirit, more of his power, more of his nature, more of him, because I think sometimes I find myself, maybe I'm in the works of flesh sometimes when I keep repeating the same thing over and over day by day by day, because the battle seems to be the same. It's like, why am I not overcoming this? And, you know, I humble myself to the Lord and I tell him I'm doing that. And I'm like, I don't know what else to do. I'm just going to rest in what your word says. And I need you to do something. You know, this, I know there's an end to this, but yeah, the anointing breaks the yoke of the old man. And the carnal reasoning, thinking, the way you take what your circumstances are and, you know, applying the word to it and applying faith to it, but yet when you don't seem like you're getting anywhere, I think that's just the enemy trying to get you in doubt, whatever form that may be in. because if he can get you to doubt or be uncertain about something, then you're walking in unbelief or double-mindedness, and then you're doing it all over again. And I think that's been my battle, but I just, Lord, whatever it takes, you know, I trust you. I trust you, God. I believe you. You know, I believe you. And I know it's part of it is just learning to overcome the whole fleshy thinking and getting past the natural sensations, feelings, emotions, everything, you know, and just go. And it's done. I know it's done. I know it's done. It's finished. I know it. And it's a day by day thing. And, you know, sometimes I just like, okay, Lord, what is this? I know I'm not in sin. If I am, I don't know it. So I don't think I am. So, you know, you all have your conversations with the Lord about, you know, what's going on. And then I would hear him say something like, I know what I'm doing with you. Don't worry. What does that mean? Okay. Yeah, I know you know what you're doing. Are you going to show me? You know, you're going to clue me in? Help me. But I think part of it is also is just learning to rest and keep fighting the good fight, casting down the vain thoughts and the imaginations of your old thinking and the enemy. And it's a warfare. You know, when I was out walking this afternoon, I just heard the Lord say, take the sword of the spirit. I mean, that's what came to my mind, just kept coming to mind. It's like, isn't that what I've been doing? So it's my sword. It's the sword of the Lord. No man shall be able to stand before you, it says. So anyhow, I think it's just the battle of the mind and battle of you know, the warfare. We keep fighting. We have it. We got it. We win. We're healed. We're delivered. We're sanctified. We're blessed. We're holy. We're clean. The enemy ain't got nothing here. I just wish he'd give up a little, you know, I'm just enough already. You're done. Thank you, Lord. That's it for now. That's it.
I got to unmute, don't I? Go ahead, Claire. I saw your hand first. Oh, okay. Go ahead, David. Can y'all hear me?
You're muted, Dave.
Ah, oh, geez, I'm starting to act like Michael now. Oh, anyways, one of the verses I got today was Luke 21:15, but before that, I put 21:14. It says, "Settle therefore in your hearts not to meditate beforehand how to answer." And then he said, "For I will give you a mouth of wisdom, which all your adversaries will not be able to withstand or contradict." And you know, I think sometimes, you know, we always want to have everything prepared. And we want to be ready and we want to have it all right there in our little bag or whatever we want to do, just to pull it out when we have it, because we know we've got it. But the Lord's saying, no, wait a minute, I'm going to give you the wisdom when you need it. And I'm going to be there, you know, right there on your side at that moment. And it's like, oh, so I got to walk by faith. So I'm going to allow him to just, pick up right where at the moment when I need you, rather than me already have everything ready when I need it. Like I'm always preparing, like we're always getting ready. We're in the Word, we're studying and doing this and trying to figure this out and going over these things. And he says, well, I'm wisdom. I'll give it to you when you need it, right at the moment when you need it. And none of your adversaries are going to be able to, you know, withstand whatever I'll have them have you say. And I was thinking, well, wisdom. Oh, yeah, it's Jesus. Wisdom. That Jesus is going to be right there. That's wisdom. He's the wisdom of God. So I think that's the biggest thing is whenever we're trying to walk our lives, we're trying to have all our ducks in a row, but he wants to walk us side by side as the day goes and progresses, moment by moment, and be there for us. So that's the biggest thing about walking in this authority and knowing how our lives are structured is just being able to be in the rest and allow him to walk the walk with us and be there when he needs us at that moment, and not us be all prepared before it happens so we can be ready, but he can be there and be our savior at that moment. So that's kind of what I'm seeing out of that too. Makes us feel a little uncomfortable. Oh, geez, I got to, you know, be out there in the open, you know, and he's going to be there and protect me. You know, you're thinking, well, is he really going to be there? Well, yeah, he said he's going to do it. He says he'll be there. But don't worry. Just settle it. He said, settle it in your hearts, not to meditate beforehand how to answer. Oh, okay. I guess I'll just have to kick back and wait and let him do his thing.
Okay, I'm unmuted. Are you raising your hand, Claire? Are you drying your fingernails or what? I don't know.
Oh, boy. My, it's hilarious. When would that ever happen that I have time to do my nails? I just love listening to Julie and Dave, and I don't know if I'm being prideful by adding something, because I want to build up the body, but I don't want to speak. So this is something that I'm wrestling with, but I'm going to speak anyway, because I do think that it's probably an okay space to share. But while Julie was talking, I remember in 2018, I had back pain that was relentless all day, every day. It was ridiculous. And, but every morning I got up and I prayed and I thanked God for healing me. And sometimes I went down a path of unbelief, trying to fix it with extra magnesium or trying to fix it with some stretching but then I would repent and I'd come back and I'd say, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I didn't see any change. And then on the day of our 10th anniversary, I just woke up and it was gone. And I was relieved, but I was also, and here's the weird thing, I was a bit sad, because I was so used to giving every spare moment of my capacity, my mental and emotional and spiritual capacity, to thanking God and to walking by faith, that now that the healing had manifest, it was almost like, I don't want to say I didn't need God, but it was like I didn't know what else to thank him for, because it had happened. And I think sometimes, and not that I wish the pain back at all, but that power that you have when you're in weakness is that perfect power of Christ. And it just, when we're going through these trials and we're enduring and we don't know why, like the very reason why we have the trial is to keep us so tuned in to him. And if that is the only way he's going to get us to tune into him, well, then I'll take it, because how else was he going to get my attention? If I was all self-sufficient and everything else, he had to give me that. Or like with I was thinking, when a mom has a new baby, a good mom will probably have a baby bag with the extra nappies and the pacifier and the little extra blankie and, you know, like a change of clothes and whatnot. But if you're a mom that's caught unawares, like I was with my first child, I didn't think I was coming home with a baby. I just thought I'd go to hospital, and I didn't know. I didn't actually have the mental capacity or the understanding that probably a baby bag needs to be packed. But do you know what? I didn't need anything in that baby bag. That baby just needed the milk from me. That's all the baby needed. And so we don't have to be preparing for some event, for some, you know, like be a prepper spiritually, because like Dave says, he wants us in that vulnerable position so that as soon as we cry out, like the little baby cries out for that milk, He gives us what we need in that moment. And that's all I had to do as a mama. I just had to be there for Mika. Like whenever she needed the milk, that's what she got. I mean, if you think about it, people in China don't even have diapers. Like they have these pot plants all over and they just lift their kids up and they train them that way, right? Like they don't, so why do we need spiritual diapers? We don't. We just need to know that our Father in heaven can provide and protect us infinitely better than what we can with our little baggage, with our handbag.
Explain more about that Chinese thing with the kids.
Well, there's so many babies in China that I know, I don't know if that happens now anymore, but I know at one point, like the government just said, no diapers. Like we're not doing this. We're not making the diapers. So they could have cloth diapers. That's fine for the rural folks, but in the cities, like I think Paula, your cousin, Alicia, she went to China. She told me this story. So I know it's true. Like when the babies need to go, they literally pick them out of wherever, if they're on you or whatever, they just let them go. Like, I don't know how they know. They're very intuitive. I don't have all the information, but I do know that diapers aren't allowed, because can you imagine what would the world look like with all those diapers? Where do they go? They don't decompose. Do you know what I'm saying? So somewhere, somebody's not getting a diaper because the world's still turning. So
what do they take them out back and hose them off or what?
They just pick them up and it's just excrement like next to the street. But then they've got all these little plants next to, like, so they'll just put them, they'll let them go, like.
That's enough.
I can't understand it, but I've heard this from more than one source. So I'm not saying it's a standard practice, but I'm saying in some places in China, they're definitely not using diapers. And I know in Africa, like, there's not diapers. Do you know what I mean? Everybody's got a little hole, or everybody's got some kind of communal area where this sort of thing happens. And they're really only babies, right? Like it's not, I know excrement is gross. I don't think we need to get into a discussion about excrement, but I do think that my point is that we don't need to be as prepared as what we think we need to be. We need to be in a position of weakness so that Christ can be perfect.
Yeah. I didn't mean to take away from your message, but you caught my attention on that one. That's all.
Thank you, Lord, for babies. Thank you, Lord, for diapers, Pampers. Missy, is this going to be about Chinese babies? Okay, go ahead.
No. Julie and I both have something that we want to pray about. If that's all right, unless you want to wait till close to the end, but
no, go ahead.
Well, let me read you an article. Julie brought it to my attention. I had no idea. Shoot.
I saw some things on the internet this morning and I thought of Missy and her family and what the deep state, what the powers that be are trying to do to shut down the nation again, and the information that I came across had to do with out here in California, wearing face masks at all time if you're outside your home, and shutting down different, you know, like putting very, very strong restrictions again on how many people can be where, like in public restaurants and bars and that kind of thing, and the salons, like only allowing like so much, like a percentage of the capacity to be used at a time. They're just, and they're inflating the numbers. I'm assuming they're inflating the numbers of all these COVID-19 cases and stuff. And what I came across regarding Pennsylvania, I just like, that's ridiculous. And I first saw it on Fox News. I couldn't remember where it was on the YouTube thing. And then I found this other article that having to do with
having to wear a face mask even while you're in your own home. And I just said, that's nuts. That's nuts. And so I started praying against all that fear mongering, control, manipulation, and those kind of things, and this just what they're doing. The other thought that came to my mind, and I could be way off on this, but having to force people to, you know, do what they're doing right now for people to be at home and not working, or less people out and about or whatever, is like maybe a precondition to helping out with the martial law thing that may be coming into effect. But that, I don't know. I mean, God uses everything. That was just a thought that came to me later.
Well, let me read this one article I found on Fox News about what they're doing here in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is planning to take additional steps to address a sharp increase in coronavirus infections, hospitalizations, including requiring masks to be worn indoors with limited exceptions, officials said Tuesday. In addition, starting Friday, anyone who enters Pennsylvania must be tested at least 72 hours before arrival. And if they can or do not get a test, they must be quarantined. They must quarantine for 14 days. The order does not apply to people who commute to neighboring states for work or health care, officials said, and will be largely self-enforced. And here's a two Twitter things. One says, issuing order requiring, and this is from the state Department of Health, issuing order requiring anyone who visits PA from another state, that's what it always said, and also PAs, Pennsylvanians who travel to other states, the same rules when coming home does not apply to, okay, so in other words, it says down further, if you go out of state, like, for instance, if I go and visit Tennessee and I come back, I have to quarantine myself for 14 days.
Do they have quarantine centers for you to do that?
Okay, this is what else it says. Strengthening masks.
Wait a minute.
How are they going to quarantine you for 14 days?
Where are you going to quarantine at? If you can't go home.
In my own house. Yeah, and I guess I'm supposed to stay away from everybody. Anyway, strengthening masking order. Masks are still required indoors. Masks now required anytime you're with people outside of your household, even if you're socially distanced. Applies to all indoor facilities. Plus, if you have people in your home, not part of your household. So in other words, guess what? Now, it did say there was one thing that I read that the Secretary of Health said that they're not enforcing it. So in other words, they want you to do this. In other words, when anybody goes to visit their families, like I'm gonna next week for Thanksgiving and all, they want everybody to wear masks inside. But she did say that they're not gonna enforce it. And then
did you want to pray about this?
Yes, okay. I do. Father, we just, oh Lord, please straighten this whole election thing out, because that's the thing that's going to straighten this all out. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, for your mercy, Lord, to straighten this out and get the election ordeal straightened out. And that it be known that Biden didn't win, and bring the truth out about all this COVID stuff. There, I know, Lord, that they can change those tests that they take for COVID, that almost anybody would come out being positive, Lord. I've read an article about it. So, Lord, we just ask you for your mercy, Lord, about this. And we just cast this down in the name of Jesus. And we forbid this. And Lord, bring to justice all the evil that is being done. And let it be known, the truth come out about the election fraud, and that Trump won the election, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, that President Trump announce this new monetary economic system here soon, Lord, because within 20 days, then they have to have an election, Lord. And that'll really straighten a lot of things out, Lord. We just ask you for your mercy. I know there's things that we got to go through, Lord, to get your people's attention, Lord, and all. But so far, this is things that man's doing, Lord. And I know you're going to do things that people are going to know that it's you that's doing it. And that's really going to get their attention and bring repentance, Lord. And I just ask you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. And please come in your latter reign. In Jesus' name, amen. Because we need you badly. Amen. Anybody else want to pray? I don't know if I covered it right. But
Tennessee's not locked down.
Yeah.
And you won't be either for long.
Well, according to this, you know, I mean, if I wanted to go down and visit soon, when I come back, I'd have to quarantine myself for 14 days. That's just nutty.
Here's what 1 Peter 5:8 says. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking who he may devour. Whom withstand steadfast in your faith. You can withstand the devil if you're steadfast in your faith. Praise God forevermore. We are, aren't we? We're all steadfast in our faith. We don't worry about what happens. What's that guy's name up there? Wolf? That's a governor up there. Lord, we bind up his actions in the name of Jesus. Huh?
I'm sorry. He has a very appropriate name. It suits him well.
Okay. Well, Lord, we just ask that you save him.
Amen.
We break the power of Satan over his mind in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for opening up his mind to the gospel. Lord, we pray that the Lord of Harvest would send somebody around there to give him the gospel that he would listen to. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Okay. Anybody else?
Michael?
Yes.
I've been listening to all these things, and I've been blessed by hearing what everybody's been saying. But what came to my mind is, and I'm so thankful for, is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because if we didn't have the gift of the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't be able to build up our most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. If we didn't have the gift of the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't be able to understand the word. I mean, I'm thinking of the armor that we need to have on. If we didn't have the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't have the understanding. We wouldn't know when we're in sin or when we're not in sin or when we are in sin. You know, I'm going through that. The whole armor is just, we need the Holy Spirit, and we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to be able to understand the word, to be able to get in the word, to be able to recognize when we're in sin, because we have to understand the word to know that. We got to get our minds straight, not let the enemy use our mind. But I'm just so thankful we have the Holy Spirit, because otherwise it would be a major struggle with any of us to try to live for the Lord. That would not be possible. So, I mean, and it's like when you don't know what to pray and when you don't know what to do, what do? Pray in tongues. Then the Lord can give you what he wants to tell you. Yeah. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say. Oh,
Well, Sue mentioned some things that really brought something to my mind. This has been quite a few years back when I was still teaching. And I had had, I don't know, there was like 2 months. I couldn't sleep. I had such, I would cough so bad when I laid down, and I had this really bad pain in my back. And one morning when I was driving to school, I was just praying in the spirit. It's like, I've just been believing for healing and it's just not coming. And all at once he showed me a picture and there was a hatchet in my back. And I was like, oh, I've been believing for healing. What I needed was armor. It was spiritual warfare. And as soon as I realized that and started praying totally different, I mean, I probably had 2 miles before I got to school. It was all gone. And I had that for 2 months. I couldn't believe it. But talking about the Holy Spirit. Yes. Yes.
Amen.
And But he let me endure for 2 months before. And I'm sure I prayed in the spirit during those times, but he didn't reveal it to me until that morning. And it was gone just like that. So thank you, Lord. Amen. He's faithful.
Yes. Amen. Yes, he is. Theo, I'm sorry, Alana, I saw your hand up a while ago and I missed you. You're up in the upper left-hand corner on my screen. I just missed you. Go ahead.
No, that's all right. It was an accident.
Okay. Let's see. What was that in the chat I saw there? Hang on. Can we please pray for more leaning on the Holy Spirit? Yes, for all of us. Absolutely. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus right now, Lord, teach us, Lord, how to be led by your Spirit. Teach us, Father, how to ask you. You be our counselor in every action that we do. And let us, Lord, teach us how to be listening for that still small voice to tell us this way or that way. And I know that you've been doing that with many people. You've been teaching us to not rely on the lot so much as to rely on that Spirit that's within us. And Lord, I ask for more of it. I ask for more for everyone in here, that you teach us how to be led by your Holy Spirit all the time. Every move we make, Lord, be guided by your Spirit. And everything that we say, Father, be guided by the Spirit. And we praise you, Father, for doing. I ask right now that you fill us all up with your Holy Spirit, Lord. So much so that there's nothing left of us in there but just you, Lord. I ask that and I pray it in the name of Jesus. And everybody out there that's listening right now would be filled also. And teach us, Father, to be led by the Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my. Okay, we can, yes, go ahead, Claire. I saw you raise your hand.
I just wanted to say that the Lord gave me another song, but we're out of time now, so I can't sing.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. No, I have authority.
Okay, Michael. I just have to find, I can't remember the tune, but, well, I can. I just have to get into it. Hallelujah, O God, your majesty. Hallelujah, O God, your majesty. You made the earth, you made the sea. You first made Jesus, then me. Hallelujah, O God, your majesty. Because of your love, I am free. Because of your mercy, I am free. Because of your faith, I am free. I'm free indeed. Because of your love, I am free. Because of your mercy, I am free. Because of your grace, I am free. I'm free indeed. And there's one more line, but I can't remember it right now.
Praise God. That is good. That's, I like the lyrics. Is that song you wrote?
That's what the Lord gave me again. Like, that's not, I don't know. I don't know music. I'm not a musical human, but I am now because the Holy Spirit makes me so.
It was quite lovely. It was. It was good. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah, for Claire's musical arrangements and abilities in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Give her a banjo, Lord. Let her learn how to play the banjo. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Father, we just thank you for another good night, a night of testimonies and revelations. And Lord, we thank you that we do stand in faith. We're steadfast in our faith. We endure in our faith because you've taught us that. And we praise you, Father, even though we don't understand sometimes, Lord. You keep it. You give us that resolve to hang in there and to stay in there and to believe you, Lord. We trust you to answer our prayers. And we know that you're going to do that in Jesus' name. You've already done it 2,000 years ago. And Lord, we thank you for teaching us these things, to the faith and the patience that it takes to make it in the wilderness when the time comes. Father, we just praise you and glorify you and thank you, Lord, for all the work that you're doing in each and every one of us, Lord. Humble us. Keep us humble. Let us always understand that we're servants of each other and we're nothing without you. We are absolutely nothing without you, Lord. And we praise you and we glorify you for the work you're doing in us. In Jesus' name, protect us. Give us a good night's sleep tonight. And Father, we just ask that everybody, that you place it in everybody's heart to be praying and to be seeking and to intercede for their brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'd sing you a song, but I don't want to run everybody off. Y'all be blessed, you hear?